He is tatted up, but yet he's president of his synagogue. It's all very interesting. I keep saying to myself, I love the movie, he's just not that into you. He's my exception, not the rule.
It's Dating Diaries, Questions and Confessions. I'm Andrea Gunning.
And I'm her work husband, Ben Fetterman. This week's show, Emotional Roller Coaster.
Okay, wait, I don't want to go there quite yet. I was looking at our IG, and I want to give some props to our digital team. Guys, if you aren't following us on Instagram, you need to. It's so much fun. Follow us at Dating Diaries QC. We have photos and stories. Ben and I make an appearance. Be part of our community.
And you can see how to enter our Ghost of the Year Awards and walk away with a very special prize. Everything you need to enjoy a perfect night, Han style. That's right, solo. Quality time, alone.
Sweet. Okay, I think I'm about ready for our first dating story.
Awesome.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Meet Maria. She works in finance. She reached out to us after a rough couple months of dating.
At this point, I'm used to it. I'm a little bit down, but I'm like, I can't give up, right? You got to get right back on. Just keep going.
But one experience really took her by surprise. More like shock.
I matched with this guy on Hinge, and he seems really normal. I'm always worried about that, right? Like, are you talking about weird stuff in the beginning? Are you asking me really sexual stuff? No, seems super normal, very respectful. So we talked all that night. And then the next day he said, oh, I should bring you coffee. And I was like, I appreciate what you're thinking, but we've been talking for like less than 15 hours at this point. I don't think so. I am still really trying to maintain distance and wear masks and, you know, do all the right things.
In less than 24 hours, this guy already wants to see Maria in person.
At first, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this. I just started talking to this guy. But then part of me was like, you know, what's the harm? Just meet him. Just see his face in person. You don't have to come within 6 feet. Just do that. So I'm like, listen, I have the lunch hour open, 12 to 1. I can give you half an hour. And he was like, well, that's really not enough time to get lunch or get coffee. Let's just literally meet in a parking lot. We can just get out of our cars, say hi. And I'm like, fine, let's do that. So I go over and I meet him. He's cute, still seems normal. But immediately, it was not a social distancing experience. He was very handsy, very in my face. And I'm like, listen, man, I appreciate the gesture, but like not during a pandemic, not right now. Keep in mind, it is also like 1,000 degrees outside. So I'm standing there and I'm like, God, this is miserable. So finally he's like, listen, my car has air conditioning. Let's just get in my car. And because I'm an idiot, I'm like, fine, we will get in your car. So we're sitting there talking and a call comes in. And it is from a female. So I was like, oh, should we pick up? Like, is that anybody special? But he said, oh, no, actually, that's my sister. He was like, no big deal. I'll call her later. We like to talk every other day or so. I was like, oh, that's cute. And of course, he just leans in and pretty much starts making out with the side of my face. Right. And I'm like, well, at this point, if I'm going to get COVID, I already have it. I'm in the car with him. So we start making out.
Well, that escalated quickly.
I kind of started laughing and I was like, God, I feel like we're in a fishbowl here. You know, like I feel like everybody can see us. but there were no cars around. So then all of a sudden, this car pulls up right in front of us. I looked at him and his face totally changes. And he looks at me and says, "You gotta go. That's my wife."
You heard that right. This man has a fucking wife.
You know how they say that some experiences, you're like floating above the scene that's unfolding, like you're not really in it? Honestly, that's how I felt. He puts his fucking car in reverse and we start leaving. And I looked at him and I said, "Get me out of this car. Stop moving. I am getting out of this car." So I open the door and I just kind of look at her and I look at him. He starts driving away and says, "I'm so sorry," as he just drives off and leaves me there with her. She's standing there and I'm standing there. And I looked at her and first I said, "I'm so sorry. I had no idea." And she cuts me off and she said, "He has done this to me before. It's not your fault." I looked at her and it dawned on me that the phone call that we got from his sister probably was not. So I said, "You're not his sister, are you?" She said, "Nope, I'm his wife." So then what do you do? I'm sitting there with this woman. She just watched me making out with her husband, unbeknownst to me. So I just got in my car and I drove home.
Maria was in complete shock. She didn't see this coming. And she doesn't fuck around with married men.
I will say that since all of this has happened, I have taken a break from the apps. I think it's important to still know that there are decent people out there. They're just not coming my way. So I'm just going to take a break and probably see what life has to offer maybe 6 months from now.
I think this is the weirdest story we've encountered.
And we've dealt with some crazy ass shit.
Dude, I would never go back. I would never go back on the apps. She says that she was reluctant throughout the whole process. What really made me laugh was how she was like, "I have 30 minutes available at lunchtime." Like, she gave him a lunch break. Does that scream quickie vibes?
I mean, he seemed to have a one-track mind, so that may be what he was thinking.
I'm getting the sense from her that he's just like throwing it all at the wall and she's just trying to make it work. I don't know how we go from the parking lot to the car itself to him basically sucking on her chin to the rest of the shit show.
So let's get into the shit show.
I think the weirdest part is that she offers the coffee date and he turns that down. Because that's not enough time, which is fair. It's like, no, if we're going to do this, let's do this right. But then he offers to meet her in an empty parking lot. That's the red flag right there. I'm not meeting anybody in a fucking empty parking lot. Pre and post COVID.
The stage is set for something very dramatic to happen. And in an empty parking lot, this other car pulls up right next to them.
But then he starts to drive away with her in the car.
His wife pulled up right next to him. What else do you... I'm surprised he didn't just get out of the car and just start sprinting.
Could you imagine, like, as he's driving away, hearing the, "I'm so sorry." Like, not "I'm sorry" to his wife, but for the woman that he coaxed to a parking lot and basically mauled. This dude got fucking busted. Also, we've heard this before, but I don't understand why people think dating apps are a good cheating mechanism. These apps are connected to your social media followers and your friends, and the circle is small. You're gonna get fucking caught. Could you imagine what it must have been like for his wife? What a dirtball. It's hard for me to talk about this because Maria has agency. I don't want to, like, blame the victim here, but, like, she ignored a lot of red flags, in my opinion. This guy is like seconds away from humping her leg.
He was persistent. He pursued. For Maria, this may have been a situation out of what she describes as a rough road. She wants to find someone, and she saw a possibility here. You got to kiss a lot of frogs, right? Well, Maria may have kissed a lot of frogs, and saw this as her potential prince and let some of those initial boundaries down.
Yeah, there's a lid for every fucking trash can. And unfortunately, this wife is a lid on this fucking dumpster fire. If that were my sister, I'd be like, you're lucky you're not fucking dead in a ditch.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Marcy is a reading specialist with a great sense of humor. This quick-witted, divorced mom of two was tossed back into the dating world in 2008, and she had absolutely no idea what she was doing.
I feel like there's been different phases. When I first started dating, I was just looking to have fun. I was with someone 17 years. I didn't even know how to text when I first started dating. The first time somebody I was seeing sent me a text, I took it to my assistant. I'm like, what's the yellow envelope? I didn't even know. I met my ex-husband in a bar, so I was lost. So I feel like the beginning, I was all over the place.
Marcy had no digital dating game, but she was willing to learn.
I've used everything down the road. JDate, Match.com, Plenty of Fish, Cupid, tried Tinder a little. So I've been all over the field with the apps. When I read profiles, I look that the profile's decently written, coherent, literate. That's a biggie. I think it's the reading specialist in me. But I am very quick-witted and outgoing. I have in my profile, I need a mint chip type of guy, a personality type of guy. So when I read profiles, if they're quick-witted and kind of maybe a little snarky and a little funny and can poke fun at themselves, that is a big attraction for me.
She has her turnoffs too.
I can't stand the no shirt pictures, the bathroom selfies. They all get ruled out, even if the profile's good. And if the no shirt picture is even remotely heading south, I feel like that's a dick pic waiting to happen.
Like a lot of singles, coronavirus was a level set for Marcy. She was still on the apps, but had no plans to date.
I'm immune suppressed and I'm a germphobe on a good day. So this whole dating in COVID is not going to work for me. The whole time. Never checked my apps, but I decided to go on just to see that my subscription was not on automatic renewal because I didn't want to pay for it again since we're in COVID. I go on and this guy is in my messages. He's 6 years older than me, very interesting profile, an accountant, but owns a bunch of different businesses, including tattoo shops. Nothing about the profile looked like anyone I had ever really dated before, like has tattoos, a shaved head, goatee. I had never dated anyone with a shaved head, goatee, or an earring. But his profile, well-educated and well-written. And see, that's like a big thing for me. And I thought, all right, I'll write him back.
He's not her normal type. But Marcy was intrigued.
I write back and he asks about talking on the phone. So we talk on the phone, have a great conversation, and he says at the end, full disclosure, I'm having surgery in 2 days on my neck, so I'm not going to be able to drive for 6 weeks. And I said, well, full disclosure, I'm immune suppressed and I am a serious germ phobe. So that will give me time to marinate for 6 weeks if I feel like I'm going to be able to meet you.
6 weeks is a good amount of time to get to know someone. And Morrissey liked what she was seeing.
We talked literally every day, multiple times a day, FaceTimed. I saw all the tattoos. I mean, he is tatted up, but yet he's president of his synagogue. It's all very interesting. I keep saying to myself, I love the movie. He's just not that into you. He's my exception, not the rule. I never talk to someone so long before I meet them, but we're getting to know each other and really connecting. And I was like, this is crazy that we're having this connection.
The curiosity was getting the better of her.
He said, okay, this is it. We're going to meet. And I have eaten out twice outdoors, but I don't love it. I get very anxious. So we discussed that. He hadn't been out to eat at all. He said, I'll do whichever you want. I would prefer not to, but I'll do whatever you want to do. So we decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get takeout and we're going to sit out back by my pool. Also an exception. I never have anyone to my house for the first time ever because I always think they're Ted Bundy.
Wrong podcast for that ending, Marcy.
It was great. Literally, he got here. We just immediately hugged and kissed. It was completely natural. It was like COVID didn't exist in that moment. And we were completely comfortable because by the time we met, it was almost 2 months.
What a beautiful moment. Two people finding each other in the most unpredictable of times. As long as they stay on the same page, they plan to see more of each other.
We're both two people looking for the same thing. And I'm hoping that he and I continue on the track that we're on. I think we will. You both have to be on the same page. And I feel very lucky to have met someone so randomly who was on the same page as me, and there's a connect. And I think that's the biggest thing about dating during this quarantine.
Okay, Marcy and I have similar pet peeves. I mean, she really looks at how profiles are well written.
She's a personality gal. She made that very clear. Pictures can only deduct points.
Yeah. You guys know how I feel about the bathroom selfie.
What's the opinion on the shirtless selfie?
If someone else is taking the photo and you're on the beach, normal. If you're in your bedroom taking it alone and then putting it on your profile, a little self-indulgent.
And what did she say if the photo is pointing a little down south?
Oh, she said it's a dick pic waiting to happen. Definitely shows a type.
So what came to mind for me is that she did go outside her comfort zone. She did go outside her traditional guy that she's looking for. And she found something special.
Yeah, I think that that's so cool. Everybody has a type. Like, do I want to marry Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights? Yeah, that's my type. But am I going to marry that? Probably not. Everyone's allowed to have their dream person, but it's way more fluid than that. And I love when people actually see opportunity by being open and explore and build connection from there. It seems like this person knows who he is. And I'm sure that's what's attracting Marcy. And ultimately, that's what you want. She made the joke that she never has anyone in her house for the first time because she thinks that they're Ted Bundy. And I kind of get that.
When I was dating, it was a really nice gesture to walk someone back to their house. And I know in today's dating world, it's, all right, this was fun. I'm going to get into an Uber and it's going to take me home. And I don't want you knowing where I live.
Well, you don't want them to come back and murder you.
Yeah. You're going to have to build some trust and some rapport before you're inviting someone into your home. I mean, that's a deeply personal thing.
It's cool that Marcy knows what she needs to feel comfortable. She made it very clear. It seemed like he knew how to respond to that. Expectations and boundaries were communicated. And that's a really strong foundation.
Simon contacted us from Hong Kong in season 1. He had recently met someone special, and their story was nothing short of romantic.
I prefer speaking to people in real life. But I did meet one person on Bumble. My only date that I actually ended up going on through the dating apps was this girl, Matilda. And then randomly walked into each other on the street a few days later after our first date. And then we spent the rest of that time together, and then we just started escalating. We went on lots of dates, and it was a bit of a whirlwind.
And then coronavirus hit. Matilda had to go back home to Australia, and there was no telling when she would be able to make it back. And Simon couldn't travel to see Matilda.
The Australian borders are fully closed. The Hong Kong borders are fully closed. It's actually physically impossible for us to see each other because of the government.
Then restrictions lifted and borders opened, and there was hope they would be reunited.
The Hong Kong government has to let her arrive. Then she has to get tested. Then she has to go into quarantine. But as long as all of that is fine, we can be in the same country again.
And it's happened. We spoke to Matilda, and she explained how tough it was to get back to Hong Kong and to Simon.
It was super tough. Obviously, they had said there's a total travel ban, and they said one exception is people who are ordinarily a resident of another country. That's really vague on what that means. And I spoke to a few different people in immigration, and one of them said to me, like, if you feel like that's your home and your heart, just give them all the documentation, everything that you can, to prove to them that that's where you're meant to be. I just booked the flight, and then the night before I was like preparing a ton of documents. So I was like messaging Simon, and I was like, I need this electricity bill. I needed like all of this stuff. I just wanted to make sure I had everything. So you have to just arrive at the airport, and immigration is first. They asked me a ton of questions. They asked if I had my Hong Kong resident, and I had to explain to them that I wasn't a resident, but I have a job offer there and a partner. So we had to like move our relationship forward very quickly. I was like, this is just for immigration, but like, you're now my life partner. They said yes, and then they said no, and then they said yes and no. And it was just this 4-hour emotional roller coaster. Am I going? Am I not? Are they going to stop me? But I got through, and I called Simon straight away, and I was like, oh my God, they've signed off on it. Like, I'm through. I felt super lucky. Like, when I was getting on the airplane, I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. When they said that I could get on the plane, I just cried.
The first half of her journey was now complete. But would she be in the clear when she arrived in Hong Kong?
After I came through immigration, there's a ton of buses waiting outside, and we went to a huge expo center. So you do the test, and then they give you a wristband, which is like a tracking bracelet. When you arrive home, you walk around the perimeter of your apartment and then press a button, and it like tracks to make sure that you don't leave your apartment for the 2-week period.
Now that they've been reunited, they decided to quarantine together, and Simon showed he's quite the romantic.
We had a lot of fun. A lot of my friends and family, their attitude was like, oh no, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. I bet it was awful. And I was like, it was actually amazing. Simon planned so many great activities. He had set up a bar on the roof, and he gave me a reservation ticket, and he had it all set up, and there was candles up the stairs, and it had a little menu, and there was like a view over the city, and we had champagne. And it's super cool because things like that make you feel like you're actually going out or going somewhere else. So I think that made it amazing.
We did loads of good stuff. We watched a movie on the roof, and I wanted to try and make it like if we were going out. So I had a few movie posters. We had popcorn, and Matilda's an artist. So another day we did a painting on the roof, which was really fun. Another day we did a beer tasting where I just bought like a bunch of random beers and then tried to guess what was in them.
After being separated for months and then spending every waking moment together, Simon and Matilda feel stronger than ever.
It makes you realize that it's just about you two and your experiences together. And if you can have fun just in a tiny 2-bed flat in Hong Kong, then you can have fun anywhere doing anything.
Yeah, it gives us that sense that we know that we can get through a lot. So I think it does make us stronger.
Simon and Matilda, I have the biggest crush on this couple. The hoops that they have had to go through to see each other is just proof that if you care and you make the choice and you want to be invested, you can make anything happen. Both of them just wanted to be with each other. She fought to get back into Hong Kong.
So many people, it would be like, all right, we had our moment, but we're separate. I don't want to do long distance. But love works through it. It made them stronger. If they can get through that, what can't they get through? But her moving the relationship forward to get through immigration, that was pretty good.
Yeah, just casually, is it cool if I like mark you down as my life partner? What's your title? Like, what are we to each other asking for an immigration officer?
I got you that dinner. We are official. We are absolutely a couple now.
Simon just pulling out all the stops so that they could have nights together that were special and meaningful. Like, it makes me sick. It's so fucking cute. Part of me is like, oh my God, I'm so jealous. Like, where is my Simon?
I have a 5-year anniversary coming up. Like, I'm taking notes, Simon.
A beer tasting, like, he's just creative. He cares. He gives a shit. It's just so refreshing.
Yeah, and I also think what they're doing, they're not giant romantic gestures. These are little thoughtful things that we can all do for one another.
Movie night, painting. Some people don't even do that in a year with their partner. We all deserve what they're giving to each other. Like, they are the standard.
I mean, if they'd have me, I'd go quarantine with Simon. I'm ready to fly out to Hong Kong. Come hang out on the rooftop.
Quarantine counselor Simon.
All right, guys. If you like Dating Diaries, please give us 5 stars and tell us what you like about the show.
And keep submitting your stories. Feel free to reach out to datingdiariespod@gmail.com to share your dating story. The good, the bad, the ghosting, the falling in love. We're here for all of it. Please stay safe out there, guys. This podcast is hosted and executive produced by me, Andrea Gunning. Executive produced by Nancy Glass, Ben Fetterman, and Carrie Hartman. Produced by Julie Clark and Brianna Fars. Edited by Matt Delvecchio. Thanks to production coordinator Megan Paisley. The show is mixed by Dave Saya. Special thanks to Mybe Music. Some names have been changed to protect privacy.